horribly desolate no human imagination can conceive. To the right and left, as far as the eye could reach, there lay outstretched, like ramparts of the world, lines of horridly black and beetling cliff, whose character of gloom was but the more forcibly illustrated by the surf which reared high up against its white and ghastly crest, howling and shrieking forever. Just opposite the promontory upon whose apex we were placed, and at a distance of some 5 or 6 miles out at sea, there was visible a small, bleak-looking island. Or, more properly, its position was discernible through the wilderness of surge in which it was enveloped. About 2 miles nearer the land arose another of smaller size, hideously craggy and barren, and encompassed at various intervals by a cluster of dark rocks. The appearance of the ocean in the space between the more distant island and the shore had something very unusual about it. Although at the time so strong a gale was blowing landward that a brig in the remote offing lay to under a double-reefed trysail and constantly plunged her whole hull out of sight, still there was here nothing like a regular swell, but only a short, quick, angry cross-dashing of water in every direction, as well as in the teeth of the wind as otherwise. Of foam there was little, except in the immediate vicinity of the rocks.
"The island in the distance," resumed the old man, "is called by the Norwegians Verg. The one midway is Moskoe. That a mile to the northward is Ambaren. Yonder are Islesen, Hotholm, Kieldhelm, Svaven, and Bockholm. Farther off, between Moskoe and Verg, are Otterholm, Freeman, Sandflesen, and Stockholm. These are the true names of the places. But why it has been thought necessary to name them at all is more than either you or I can understand. Do you hear anything? Do you see any change in the water?"
We had now been about 10 minutes upon the top of Helseggen, to which we had ascended from the interior of Lofoden, so that we had caught no glimpse of the sea until it had burst upon us from the summit. As the old man spoke, I became aware of a loud and gradually increasing sound, like the moaning of a vast herd of buffaloes upon an American prairie. And at the same moment, I perceived that what seamen term the chopping character of the ocean beneath us was rapidly changing into a current which set to the eastward. Even while I gazed, this current acquired a monstrous velocity. Each moment added to its speed, to its headlong impetuosity. In 5 minutes, the whole sea, as far as Verg, was lashed into ungovernable fury. But it was between Moskoe and the coast that the main uproar held its sway. Here, the vast bed of the waters, seamed and scarred into 1,000 conflicting channels, burst suddenly into frenzied convulsion, heaving, boiling, hissing, gyrating in gigantic and innumerable vortices, and all whirling and plunging on to the eastward with a rapidity which water never elsewhere assumes except in precipitous descents. In a few minutes more, there came over the scene another radical alteration. The general surface grew somewhat more smooth, and the whirlpools, one by one, disappeared, while prodigious streaks of foam became apparent where none had been seen before. These streaks, at length, spreading out to a great distance and entering into combination, took unto themselves the gyratory motion of the subsided vortices, and seemed to form the germ of another more vast. Suddenly, very suddenly, this assumed a distinct and definite existence in a circle of more than a mile in diameter. The edge of the whirl was represented by a broad belt of gleaming spray, but no particle of this slipped into the mouth of the terrific funnel, whose interior, as far as the eye could fathom it, was a smooth, shining, and jet-black wall of water, inclined to the horizon at an angle of some 45 degrees, speeding dizzily round and round with a swaying and sweltering motion, and sending forth to the winds an appalling voice, half-shriek, half-roar, such as not even the mighty cataract of Niagara ever lifts up in its agony to heaven. The mountain trembled to its very base, and the rock rocked. I threw myself upon my face and clung to the scant herbage in an excess of nervous agitation. "This," said I at length to the old man, "this could be nothing else than the great whirlpool of the maelstrom."
"So it is,